Now, this morning, we finished the book of Hebrews last Sunday. And normally when I finish a book, I take a few Sundays to the things that maybe the Lord has laid on my heart, or speak about the events of that's happening in the world today. Amen. So that's why I'm talking to you this morning about Psalm 11. You know, the title of this message this morning is a psalm, or you could even say a song, for our today. It's a song for the time that we are living in. And as most of you know, there's only 64 days left, and then we enter a brand new year. And of course, the holiday season is now approaching, and I don't mean Halloween. I mean Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know what I'm saying. I didn't want to get an email on that, all right? Because since Halloween is, I think, this month, right? don't do that to me. So with all that being said, you know, we're entering into the holiday season here in our nation, here at this church. But the fact is that not everyone in the world is going to be celebrating a holiday season, are they? No, we have a horrible war going on, of course, there in the Ukraine with Russia attacking. Now we have in Israel the war with Hamas, and America, of course, is standing with both of them. And I know that you know, I'm not going to be telling you anything you don't know, or maybe I will, but you already know that there has been, the U.S. has sent a tremendous array of warships into the Mediterranean, the East Mediterranean, and there in the Red Sea as well. And even the warships have already intercepted some of the missiles, remember, that they were shooting over there, either at Israel or ourselves or whatnot. And it wasn't just, 2 days ago that we sent our aircraft flying over Syria, where we destroyed some of the Hamas locations of their headquarters and ammunition or whatever it was, supply chain and so forth, to disrupt that. Now, with all of that being said, I don't know if you caught what Iran told us last night. They made a statement. Let me read it to you. Iran says the United States of America will not be spared if the war in the Middle East there, if it spreads. That's a very big word for Iran, isn't it? You know, especially, you know, most of the world right now is not liking Iran, which is good. They're the number one terrorist nation on earth. Now, this morning, what I'm going to do before I get into Psalm 11, I want to talk to you about 15 minutes. Is that okay? So I just want to kind of set this sermon up this morning. And I'm basing it on how many people have been coming to me, and they're asking me, they say, Bill, you know, is normal ever going to come back? I mean, I just want normal to come back to our nation, to our, it seems it's not ever going to come back. Well, can I tell you that I would love to see that come back as well? Amen, wouldn't you? But the fact of the matter is that I don't believe with all of my heart, I just don't believe that normal is ever going to return to our country unless there is a major, major revival in America. And with all that being said, I'm beginning to believe that there is no such thing as normal anymore because of the culture that's in our culture in America, if you will. Matter of fact, the word normal, you know what I did? I did a word search in the New King James Bible for that word. And guess what I found? I mean, Old Testament, all the way through the entire Bible, I did a word search for the word normal. And guess what I found? It's not there. It's not there. I went, oh my gosh, no wonder everything is all messed up in our culture. You know, Texas A&M, the university there, they have a definition of the word society or the word culture. Let me read it to you if you don't mind. It's the Texas A&M defines culture as this: culture is the societal norm, values, and beliefs that a group of people ascribe to, put into practice, or believe in. So here's where we are right now. We are witnessing a cultural revolution, if you will. And the problem is, our culture, is it divided? Oh my gosh. It's divided into so many different subcultures, if you will, okay? And so we have all these groups of people, different groups, and each of them, they have different values. They have a different set of beliefs. And in a way, I know it's going to sound silly to some of you, but in a way, it even reminds me of the 60s, because I remember the 60s. I remember the division in our nation. I remember the riots. Oh, it was especially about Vietnam, all those things. Remember, some of the music that came out of the 60s. Do anybody remember any of that? Thank God. Thank you. You remember that song, if you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear a... Three of you, be sure to wear a flower in your hair, because you're going to meet some gentle people there, right? Well, I didn't ever wear a flower in my hair. However, I did like that song. But let me tell you what they went on and said. Well, if you're going to San Francisco, you're going to meet some gentle people there. Here it comes. All across the nation. Whoa, such a strange vibration. People in motion. Listen carefully. There's a whole generation with a new explanation. Now, that was the 60s, but I can tell you that is the same. Those words can be used today. Amen? So, we're living in a strange culture, and cultural change equals behavioral change. Okay, and you know why? Because the Word of God is not in their change. Does that make sense? It's not in their behavior at all. And without God's eternal, unchanging truth, man, listen, you're in trouble. Because that means that a culture then is going to base what they believe, act upon, live according to what they believe is right and what they believe is wrong. Amen? If you don't believe me, just think of the changes in our lifetime. Just in my lifetime. I mean, can we believe that the oldest institution in mankind, the oldest, has been redefined? Marriage. You know it, and I know it. We know what happened in 2015. Marriage, the Supreme Court said marriage is now legal in all 50 states. I'm sorry, same-sex marriage. So what a revolution. What a culture we're living in. They say that's right. God says that's wrong. Do you understand? Are you all with me? Okay, just bear with me this morning. And we're also in a different, an identity revolution when it comes to culture with identity. I don't know, you know, the words where a man can born a male, but when he, whatever, now I'm a woman. I mean, I still haven't been able to lock myself into that. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make sense. I'm not making fun of people that feel that way. I'm just saying I can't wrap my mind around it. And now they wanted the pronouns that we have to use, and all, which we don't, or I don't. J.K. Rowling, remember the one who wrote Harry Potter? That was a movie, right? Okay. You know what she said? She said, let me read it. She said she would happily spend time in jail if the government in the United Kingdom made it a hate crime to call someone by the wrong pronouns. Do you know that right now the parliament is voting on that, to pass that? Think about that. And so, man, I want to say now, Miss Rowling, listen, you wrote a great book, Harry Potter, but let me tell you what's going to be ready again. The cancel culture, they're going to come after you. You know, that mass shaming that they do. And so forth. You better be prepared. So the revolution, the world that we're living in right now, how about the technical revolution? Technology has preconditioned our society, and me included, to be helpless. You have a camera on your cars. I'm going to back right up, you know, or now they have cars that park themselves. You don't have to use a steering wheel. They even drive themselves. We're so helpless. I mean, we fall apart. Listen, do you know that the average American, okay, the average smartphone American user, do you know how many times a day they now check their Facebook? 14 times a day. I don't even have Facebook. I don't want Facebook. I'd rather be on my face before God. Amen? Now, how about this? I was looking this up. Do you know what the main communication for people under 50 is? What is it? Texting. Think about that. They're texting. How about this one? Handwriting. People don't even know how to handwrite anymore. Do you know it's nearly obsolete? And matter of fact, not only that, you think about this. I mean, people have forgotten how to spell. I used to know how to spell. And now if I didn't have autocorrect, I mean, I would not want to send out my emails or anything. Do you understand? It's like, I mean, when I was younger, I didn't have a problem spelling anything. And now when you start writing with that pen, you notice how, oh, it's hard. Come on. I'm going someplace. You guys just bear with me. I just want to set all of this up. And I mean, not only that, we have outsourced our brain today. And what I mean by that is this. When is the last time you memorized, say, a cell phone number? Come on. They're all, well, you don't even know the number. We don't memorize anything. I mean, we're a helpless bunch. You know, we don't remember the old maps that you'd buy. You know, you'd buy them, okay, and some, you'd have to, have, you need a co-pilot, man. And here you are, you know. Now you don't need maps. You have apps. They tell you, they tell you everything. There's a police officer 5 miles ahead. They do. Or where a gas station is. Or they tell you, they even tell you if you're going too fast. They talk. Listen, my car, you know, this. I was so shocked the other day. I was driving it and I'd driven, I guess, 5 or 6 hours, and it came across the screen. Are you ready for a coffee break? No, I'm serious. And I went, oh my God. They know everything I'm doing. I mean, everything. And then the next moment, I cross over a state line going to Oklahoma, and a voice came on and said, welcome to the state of Oklahoma. And I said, that did it for me right there. No, you see what I'm getting at. I mean, we are so locked in. I mean, we can't find our way around Fort Worth without Waze or Waz or whatever you call that app, you know? Now, you say, Bill, where are you going? Thank you. I want you to listen to me now. We depend on so much, don't we? Technology, and I mean, we're helpless when we have a power outage. Can't cook, can't do anything, we're helpless. Can't get gas because the gas stations run on the power to fill your tank. I mean, think about this. But we are so relaxed today. And America, we're living the dream, loved one. We really are. And not only that, I mean, well, think about it. The Rangers are in the World Series. We're living the dream. I mean, that's a miracle. I mean, life is good, isn't it? Come on, life is good. But here's the problem. Church, listen to me now. If Israel was not ready on Saturday, October the 7th, I'll never forget when it came across the screen of my PC. I was in my prayer time, and it came across, and I said, oh, God. If they were not ready, okay, on that day, what makes you think we're ready? And what makes you think that the church is ready? Boy, that's a very important question. And I'm going to tell you something. It is vital that we start doing something if you're not doing it, and that is you need to be praying more than you are in the news. Does that make sense? And I'm keeping up with Israel, but you need to pray more than you are watching the news, okay? And not only that, you need to be back in God's Word more than you're watching those other things. This is a moment right now. This year's nearly over. Boy, if there's a time to be in the Word of God and in prayer, seeking God, is right now. And that's desperately what is needed and so forth. Yes, we need to stay informed, but here's what is so relaxing about us. See, we really believe, somebody told me this the other day, Bill, you know, we're talking about Israel and the Hamas and all that. Bill, and they go, Bill, listen, why are you talking about all there? Hamas and Hezbollah and all, they're over there. They're not here. I said, really? Now, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, I just read this yesterday. They reveal that 169 individuals on the terrorist screening data set were apprehended at the Texas-Mexico border in 2023, which also included September 30th. That's just last month. Now, last Monday, Texas DPS Director Stephen McCraw spoke with the members of the House State Affairs Committee about border apprehension of individuals from special interest countries, including Afghanistan, Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, and Jordan, all attempting to enter into the U.S. Do you know how many people from those nations and more have already crossed our borders and are here right this very moment? And that's why you have seen so much division in our nation and so many pro-Palestinian or Hamas rallies in our nation because of the people from there are here. Does that make sense? Man, listen, I mean, think about what happened just Wednesday, that school there in New York is a Jewish school, and they had to lock the students away because of a pro-Palestinian rally that was taking place as they were shouting and yelling at the Jews that were in the school, the kids. I mean, that's where we're living at. Not only that, I was listening to the government people talk the other day, you know, on TV, and how they were saying that they feel that there's a very close possibility of America being pulled into this war with Israel there in the Middle East. And not only that, there's many people in America right now, and I've thought about this myself, and I've prayed to the Lord about this myself, that America is almost headed into a civil war because of the division that exists here. Matter of fact, the poll, let me read the poll here to you. It says right here, if I can find it, there it is. A 2021 national survey said this, 46% of Americans believed that civil war in our nation, another civil war, is very, very likely. Now, by now, you're saying, Bill, can I hear some of the Word of God? Yes, you're getting ready to. But by now you're going, do you have any good news? And that's what I want to tell you about. I have great news for you. I have a psalm that is perfect for the hour, the day that we are living in, and it is Psalm 11. I hope you've already turned there. It's a psalm of David. Now, listen carefully. We have no clue what historically the psalm was about. Now, we can use conjecture. We can say maybe it was about King Saul, or maybe it was about Absalom, his son, but we would be speaking about something we know nothing about because we don't know the historical setting. Now, let's begin. It says, in the Lord I put my what? Trust. Every day, you and I, what do we hear? We hear 1,000 voices every day that say, you can trust me. You can trust me, or you can trust this. The White House says you can trust our government, okay? I go, really? I don't know about that anymore. I love our country, don't get me wrong. You know, but, you know, the World News Tonight, they make you think you can trust me, or Fox News, hello? You know what I'm saying? Can you trust Fox News? There's more fake news, and 55% of adults in America get their news off of social media today. 55%. Have you ever heard of fake news? Hello. Man, you have to be so... Let me tell you, if you really want to know about Israel, you want a great website to go to, you go to the one... This is the one I go to all the time. AllIsrael.com. It's a wonderful site. You'll find the truth about what's really going on over there. Now, with all that being said, you know, the science says you can trust me, or this says you can trust me. And I'm sure that the Cowboys, in a minute, they're saying, you can trust me, we're going to win. Whatever you trust in is what you believe in, loved one. That's very important. David said this, I put my trust in the Lord. No matter where we go in this life, no matter what we do, listen to me now, you can trust the Lord with all of your heart, amen? You can trust the Lord. You should be trusting Him every day, no matter what you're facing. The Bible tells us this about trusting the Lord. It says in Psalm 62, in verse 8, it says, trust in Him, trust in God. And then it says, at all times. What does that mean? In all times. That's a huge word. Anything that you're going through in your life, every situation, every circumstance, every minute, you can trust the Lord. He says, oh, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour your heart out before Him. Why? God is a refuge for us. Amen? Do you believe that? And then it says, Selah. What does that mean? It means stop, pause, Think about what you just read for a minute. Meditate upon that. Listen, it says, right, it said you can pour your heart out to God, and He never tires of us pouring our heart out to Him. Listen, trust the Lord at all times. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart, all of it. Why? Because there's so many other things that come in to steal the trust that you haven't got away. So if He has all of your heart, if your heart is always trusting the Lord, He says, listen, trust in Him with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Boy, we get in trouble so often. Don't lean on your understanding, but acknowledge Him in all of your ways, in everything that you do throughout your daily life. And He says, He will direct your steps. I'm going to ask you a question. If you allow God, if you trust Him with all your heart, and He's the one now guiding your steps, how can you fail? Do you understand? When I guide my life, and I always get in trouble. Does that make sense? I'm always going the wrong direction. But when He guides your steps, where is God leading you? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it's in the Bible. 2:14. I don't know if it's second or first. I can't remember. It doesn't matter, but it's in the Corinthians. It says, thanks be unto God our Father, who is always, not sometimes, who is always leading us in victory in Christ Jesus. So if He's leading you, He is always leading you in victory. But you have to be trusting the Lord with all of your heart. Nahum 1:7 says, oh, the Lord is good. And I love this part. He is a stronghold, a fortress, a safe place in the day of trouble. Are you in trouble? Man, it is a place to run to is the Lord. And then it goes, and He knows those who put their trust in Him. God knows whether you are trusting Him or not. Listen, the world is not a safe place. Did you know that? It's not a safe place. And if the only safe place is God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is not another safe place. It says in Psalm 84:12, oh Lord, it says, blessed are, oh how happy, or oh how fortunate, literally. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. The psalmist said in Psalm 112, verse 7, it says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. That means bad news. Why? His heart is steadfast. It's fixed. It's solid. It's immovable. His heart is steadfast. Why? Trusting in the Lord. The world, the news, is filled with bad news every day, isn't it? I mean, we were all again, we had the worst mass shooting again this year up in Maine. And what was it, 18 people were just murdered for nothing. Murdered. And then dozens were injured and so forth. Man, that's bad news. And it can mess your mind up. So what do you do? Well, you do what God's word said. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace. I like that word perfect, don't you? Perfect peace, not just peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you. Why? Because he trusts in you. So David says, look at it again, verse 1. In the Lord I put my trust. And look what David does now. He asks a question. He's speaking to someone. He says, how can you say to my soul, my emotional realm, how can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Now listen, when you trust the Lord, the same thing that happened to David right here is going to happen to you. When you trust the Lord, you have to expect your trust in the Lord to be challenged. Amen? And it may be people that you love, could be Christians, could be people that are close, whatever it is. But listen, David is shocked. He says, how can you say that to me? Run to the mountains like a bird? How can you say that thing to me? See, there's always someone, when you trust the Lord, when you follow the Lord, there's always someone who will give you counsel, faithless counsel, to go the other direction. In other words, man, you better run. You better get out of here right now. Run to that mountain. Be like a bird. Fly up there as fast as you can. In other words, take the easy way out. Listen, if the easy way out If running from circumstances, if running from problems in our life, if it helped me, I would be the best runner in the world. But you know what? Does it help you to run away from your problems? No, it doesn't. You carry them right there with you. So look what they say in verse 2. They're talking to David. For look, David, listen, the wicked bend their bow. We could even put Israel right there. Man, they brought in the AK-47s or 15s, whatever they were. They're going to kill you, man. He says, and they make ready their arrow on the string. And in other words, they have already placed the thing that they want to kill you with. It's already on the string. It is already aimed right at you. Why? That they may shoot, what's that word? Secretly, in the darkness, literally. We could say the same thing about what happened that early morning, Saturday, October the 7th, when Hamas went through the gates and entered the kibbutz, and you know what they did? They, like animals, killed, they butchered the Jewish people, babies and everything. He says, oh, they shoot secretly at the upright in heart. David, they're going to come after you. It's going to be in darkness, and they're going to catch you totally off guard. And then they say to David, David, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So whoever these people were, maybe they were his friends. So David's nameless, faithless comrades, they warn him. David, listen, what can the righteous do? Look at the situation that you're in right now. I mean, the only thing you can do is run. But they use a word, foundation, here. And that word in Hebrew literally means the settled order of things. The settled order of things. So what did David just do? David compared his culture, the society that he lived in, he compared it to like a building. And the foundation that he's speaking of here is the foundation of justice, of honesty, and of truth. In other words, doing what is right in life. Now, when those things are undermined in any society, will the foundations stay up? No, they crumble, don't they? Now listen, look at it again. If the foundations, plural, are destroyed, what can the righteous, what can the faithful people of God, what can they do on that dark day when they see these things happening? So the word destroyed there means, it means literally to be completely ruined. It means to be thrown completely down. Speaking of a foundation of a people or a foundation of a nation. So when you're found, what can you do when the foundation is destroyed? I mean, you can't, why go repair the roof if the foundation's gone? Is that right? I mean, do you rebuild the walls? How can you rebuild a wall if you don't have a foundation? So when the foundation is gone, loved one, listen, there is absolutely nothing to build on. So what can the righteous do? I mean, in other words, what action can they take? Let me give you a few other translations from the Message. The bottom has dropped out of the country. Good people don't have a chance. Here's the Good News translation. It's not very good news, but here it comes. There's nothing a good person can do. When everything falls apart, the righteous don't have a chance. There's nothing they can do. Now listen to me. Foundations is plural right here. What can we do right today when one moral foundation after another is crumbling in our own nation? What can we do? See, whenever, if God's truth, if it's removed, what truth remains? Man's truth, amen? A man's truth, and listen, what is right or wrong is going to fluctuate. Now, what I believe, I don't know about God. I don't have anything to do with God or God's word. Don't even believe in it. Whatever their ideas, their feelings, their lust, that's what they're going to build a culture on. But God's word says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts or lifts to honor a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people or any nation. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now look at verse 3 one more time. If the foundations are destroyed, ruined, completely down, What can those who trust God, what can they do? You know, when we look at our culture, it's sad the things that are happening today. As a matter of fact, you can cry over it. You know, I do. Think about, we think about our marriages today, the men marrying men and women, all of those things are the little girls becoming little boys, the things that are just happening. I want to ask you a question. What can we do when we live in a nation that was founded on God's word and was birthed literally on God's word? What can we do? Patrick Henry, remember him, the American Revolution? Let me read what he said. He said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded," meaning America, "great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." What a great word, amen? That's how we came about, loved one. Listen, what can we do when a nation celebrates and applauds what God condemns? Think about that. That's where we are right now. What can we do when we see, and not trying to be depressing, but it is depressing. What do we do when we see so many churches in our own nation? They have a name that they are alive, but they are dead because they have gone the way of the world. Do you understand? They've embraced the wickedness of the world. You know that. I know that as well. What in the world can we do? What can the righteous do? You want me to tell you? We can continue to be righteous. Amen? Not only that, we can keep on trusting the living God who cannot lie. We can put on the full armor of God. We walk on water. Amen? We're the church of the living God. We're not a bunch of failures. We were failures, and God erased all that. Now we're in Him, and Jesus doesn't have failures. Amen? Now, and I say, Lord, that's what we want right there. And look at David's answer to his faithless friends. His answer is our answer. Watch this. He says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven." Now, that is what I call a today word. That is a today word because we are living in such uncertain times. David says to his buddies, he says, you've forgotten something, and maybe the church has too. David says, you've forgotten that my God, the God that I trust in, the God that I believe in, the God that I love and the God I'm following, He is sovereign over all the world, over all the universe. He is God. He is in control. That's what he's saying right there. He's saying, listen, God rules all things every second from heaven. Amen? Let me give you the scriptures to prove that. Job 12:23, it says, He, not meaning God, not man, He, God, makes nations great. Isn't that amazing? It is God that makes nations great. It says it is God who destroys them, meaning the nations. It is God who enlarges nations and guides them. Psalm 22:28. It says, pardon me, the kingdom of the Lord is of the Lord, and He rules over all the nations. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Boy, I tell you, we have forgotten God in this nation. Do you know that? We may say in God we trust there in Washington, but that is not true. That is not true. No. It says, pardon me, it says in Psalm 33:10, it says this, the Lord brings the counsel or his plans and purposes. It says the Lord brings his plans and purposes of the nations, plural, to nothing. Boy, that's a powerful word. Their plans, he said, God brings them to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples, that's plural again, of no effect. See, the problem is not in their planning. The problem is leaving God out of their planning. And we never want to be guilty of that. Amen? Everybody has a plan. You have a plan. You have a plan for this or retirement or this. Everyone has some kind of plan. The White House has a plan. The devil has a plan. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? God has a plan. It's called the eternal life plan. Amen? He has a marriage plan. He has a goodness plan. He has a discipleship plan. Man, God has all kinds of plans for us, loved one. But the world, they have all kinds of plans. One day, all the nations of the world, are they going to surround Jerusalem? That's what it says, isn't it? Oh, that's a bad mistake, okay? It says in Psalm 33:11, listen to this one. It says, the counsel, again, the plans, the purposes of the Lord stands forever. What an amazing word. God's purposes, God's plans are eternal, and no one can overturn them. No one. He says, the plans of his heart, God's heart, to all generations. God has a plan for you. He has, it's the greatest plan, and it's better than your plan. Amen? Oh, his plan is perfect. It is flawless. When he makes a plan, it endures forever. Don't you want to be in on God's plan? Oh, why? His plans, we just read it. His plans come from his heart concerning you. Think about that. The most loving, perfect, holy in the whole universe says, my plan for you is the best plan in the universe. And how can we trust the plans of man over the plans of God? Oh, loved one, listen. No, and his eyelids, look at this. His eyes behold, his eyelids do something else. Test the sons of men. Meaning God looks, he observes, he knows all the activities of man. Every person. He doesn't miss one thing. He knows, God, our Father, he knows everything about everything and everything about everybody. Did you know that? He doesn't miss one thing. It says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and upon the good. Hebrews 4:13, there's no creature or no created thing hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. There's a day of reckoning that's coming. We will stand before the Bema seat of Christ, amen, the place of rewards. Now listen, God is not shocked by what's happening in our nation. He's not shocked about all the pro-Hamas rallies and all the things that are happening. He's not shocked about what's happening to Israel, but Israel was. See, God wasn't caught off guard on October 7th, but Israel was caught off guard. Now, what can we do? What can we really do when we are witnesses of the foundations, plural, literally crumbling in our own nation? What can we really do? We must believe and know and learn that we are on the only true foundation in the entire universe. Amen? That's what we have to learn. Let me give you a few scriptures. You know, if you're trusting any foundation in this world, listen carefully. It says in Psalm 82:5, God says, hey, they don't know. They don't understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Every government on earth is unstable. Did you know that? Did you know that? Amen. Loved one, that is so important. Psalm 89:14, God says, righteousness and justice are your foundations at your throne. 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul says, nevertheless, it says, the solid foundation of God stands, meaning it is immovable, unbreakable, unshakable. You cannot destroy it. The solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The word seal always denotes security, like the security of the believer or ownership, okay? Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. Amen? He knows if you belong to him or not. He knows if you don't belong to him or not. Listen, man, we are on an unshakable foundation. Did you know that? I mean, unshakable. Listen to this about Isaiah 28:16. Therefore saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. Who is that stone? Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, he's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. And then he says, he is a sure foundation. Did you know there is no protection, there is no security to the believer? Now listen, if you're not building on the only foundation, that we have. You have to build upon those things. You can't build on it whenever the storms of life come. You build right now, and you know that you're on the right foundation. Amen? That's so, so important. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other man can lay any foundation which is already laid, and that foundation, of course, is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And generation after generation, they have tried to tear down the church. Generation after generation has tried to destroy Israel, you know? But the fact of the matter is that they're not going to destroy the church, or nor Israel. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground, that word means foundation, so the pillar and the foundation of the truth. That's who we are. See, the truth doesn't rest on the church. We rest on God's truth. Amen? And we need to understand that. So our foundation is the eternal, unchanging Word of the living God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never, ever pass away. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. Not you, not me. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Loved one, that is so important. And he says there in verse 5, look what David says. The Lord now, he's not only sovereign, he's not only controlled, but he tests the righteous or refines them. Now, every test that we have really is about faith, isn't it? Why? Because faith is our foundation, isn't it? Yes, the just, we've been in Hebrews for a long time. The just shall live by faith. Faith is our foundation. And you know what? That's what kept Job going. Let me give the scripture. It says in Job 23:10, but God knows the way I take. And when he has tested me, Job says, hey, I'm going to come forth as gold. He says, and here's why. Listen to what he says. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, my daily food is not important as the daily word of God. And that's what is, loved one, listen, that is so vital today. And then he says, look what it says, the Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves what? Violence. Loves violence. His, meaning God, his soul hates. If you look up that Hebrew word for hate, it is a strong Hebrew word. And it's filled with passion, loved one. And the one who loves violence, it says, loves violence. This is his soul hates. Proverbs 6:17, it says that he hates those who shed innocent blood. We're living in a barbaric time. If you think that Hamas, that war that they declared and Israel declared upon them, that wasn't, those soldiers were not, they were terrorists. Do you understand? They killed little babies, innocent people. That wasn't war where you're fighting a military. They were murdering unarmed civilians, loved one. Now listen, and you know why they were so, why they laughed as they, I've seen the videos, why they laughed while they killed the Jewish people. Do you know that some of them even called home and to their parents and said, let me tell you how many Jews I killed today. This is what's happening right now. It's barbaric. It's demonic. And here's what they did. You know, the soldiers are really, they're not soldiers. They're terrorists. These barbarians, the Hamas, what they did was this. They took, before they crossed over there October the 7th, they took what's called, it used to be called the ISIS drug. Maybe you heard of that before. And what that is a horrible, horrible drug because it makes a person, you don't have any mercy. It's called, if I can pronounce it right, Captagon. It's mass-produced in Syria. Again, used by ISIS, it says, to suppress fear prior to carrying on their terrorist operations. Now, this drug that they took allowed Hamas terrorists to commit heinous acts with a sense of calmness and indifference. Matter of fact, it literally made them enjoy what they were doing. and as they were murdering people. The Bible just said, God just said, he said, the one who loves violence, my soul hates. The one who loves violence, loved one, is a companion to the destroyer. And who's the destroyer? The devil. John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning. Now, anti-Semitism, the hatred of Jewish people, it is heartbreaking to see from the book of Exodus all the way to this very moment, the hatred of the Jew. That is just unbelievable. It's unfathomable that that even happens. And I encourage y'all to do something. Go online and type in the Hamas covenant or the Hamas article, okay? Let me just give you a few of the articles from their covenant. It says here in Article 7 of the Hamas covenant, it says, the day of judgment will not come about until we fight the Jews and we kill them. It says in Article 13, there is no negotiation settlement possible. Jihad is the only answer. Article 14, the liberation of Palestine is our personal duty of every Palestinian. No, that's not true, is it? But that they're calling the ones in other words, while they hide under the hospitals, they let innocent people die, don't they? Yes. Article 32, Hamas regards itself the spearhead and vanguard of the circle of struggle against world Zionism. Now listen, they took that drug, but they were already probably filled with the devil. You know what I'm saying? You know what they did. I don't want to have to go into all those horrible details, but I'm going to tell you something. When I see a picture of that little 9-day-year-old baby in the windowsill of the house that's burning, did y'all see that? It broke my heart. I mean, they're just innocent, right in the windowsill. Thank God he was saved. Amen? But they went in and they beheaded little children. They mutilated their bodies. I read the report from the morgue and from a reporter on what they viewed, which I can't even talk about. They were like a demonic horde of barbaric people that went in there and killed innocent people. I cannot imagine that they raped older women and babies until their pelvis was broken. I say, that's what they're doing over there, loved one. Listen, burning those babies alive. You say, Bill, don't say anymore. It's shocking. Listen, it's shocking to this generation, but every generation's the same as far as I'm concerned. It's like I told the early service, you know, I was a pre-law, I loved history in college. I was a pre-law history major. And when you study history, loved one, listen, it's no different. Hitler's soldiers in World War II. Do you know what they did? They would take Jewish babies. They loved the newborns. And they would throw them as high as they could up in the air so the soldiers could take out their machine guns and use them for target practice. That really happened. Do you understand how wicked people are without Christ Jesus? And I said, oh God, what a fallen world. You know, in my generation growing up, I mean, some of you won't remember, don't even know anything about Ugandan leader Idi Amin. That guy was an animal. He was a huge man. He was an animal. He was a dictator. And man, you know how many people he had killed? He had over 500,000 people killed in a short amount of time. You didn't mess with him. And you know what he did with some of them? He fed them to the crocodiles. He loved doing that. That's the kind of generation we live in. You think of Pol Pot and the Vietnam War, loved one. You think of the killing fields, all the things that happened there. 1.7 million people died. And you know what Pol Pot commanded them to do for pregnant women? To rip the babies out of their body and kill them. That's what the world that we live in. You say, Bill, you're depressing the heck out of me. No, I'm telling you the truth. Do you understand? That is the world that we live on, and we have to be on the right foundation all the time. See, we're too relaxed. We're too relaxed. We have everything going for us. We're just too relaxed, loved one. We've got to be careful. There's people waiting to be dictators, and there's one called the Antichrist that's coming. Oh, he really wants to kill the Jews. Do you know that? Come on. We have to be so careful. And you say, well, Bill, where in the world is the justice? Where is it? Well, loved one, listen, justice delayed is not justice denied. It's coming. You better believe it's coming. Look what David said in verse 6. He said, upon the wicked, what's God going to do? He will rain coals, fire, brimstone. A burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Those who love violence, those who kill and the innocent people and so forth, that's eternal judgment. What is God saying? Nobody gets away with anything, amen? And we should never water down the judgment of God. It's a real judgment, loved one. And those people that are not saved, you know what? A person that's not saved, God loves them, but they're not saved, and they're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. They're going to be pulled out of Hades. Think of that, where they're waiting for judgment. And they're going to come, and they're going to have a resurrected physical body. And they're going to stand before God. And they're not going to say a word. And there will be no appeals on that day. There will be no jury. There will be no exit. And the books are going to be opened. And God will read them account of their works. And anyone's name not found written in the book of life will be cast into Gehenna, which is eternal hell. There's no one in hell right now. Do you know that? No one. They're in Hades awaiting the great white throne judgment. And that's what's going to happen to those that did that, loved one. But the Lord, you say, well, that's just too tough. That's too hard. No, look at verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. The Lord, listen, He is righteous. His justice is perfect. Amen? He loves righteousness. It says, His countenance beholds the upright. His countenance behold the upright. Literally meaning the upright will see His face. Now, loved one, listen to me. What can we do? We're getting ready to enter 2024. We see the mess in this world. And what can we really do? Listen, I was a builder for a long time, and this is going to probably sound weird unless you build homes, and so forth, but when I got out on the site to build the house, that foundation was, there was just the foundation. It turned me on. because see, what the fruit of your hands, do you understand? Marshall, am I right? It's just a foundation. It is clean. There's not one pop mark on it. You know what I'm talking about. And there's the lumber. They've delivered it. And there you have your tool pouch and so forth. And you open up those plans and you say, okay, and you start laying everything out, start building your headers, your corners, your tees. You know what I'm talking about. And you know how to build it. How level. It's got to be plumb, man. And you make sure everything is square. It turns you on. Because, see, you see what's going to happen. You see what it becomes. Does that make sense? And then you go, look at that. It's all finished, and, man, now they're bringing in the fresh dirt and the grass, you know. And you go, wow, this is so cool. And you see the fruit of your hands. Now, I want you to listen to me. You're on the only foundation that can save you. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, wherever you go on that foundation, you're safe. But here's the thing. You are building something on that foundation. Does that make sense? You're on a foundation that will never crumble. You're on a foundation, Christian, that will never be destroyed. That never will be shaken. But here's the deal. You are right now building your life on that foundation. It's no different than here you are, I'm saved, and you walk out on a concrete slab, and you walk out there and say, okay, here it is. Well, you're going to be building your marriage. You're going to be raising your children. Do you understand? You're building a life on that foundation. And you know what you find on that foundation? You find that goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. You find that God will never fail you. You'll find that God's truth will always prevail. You'll find that the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you. But it's on that foundation, the only foundation. Every foundation in this earth is crumbling and it's going to fall apart. We just sang a minute ago, the whole earth is going to shake at His presence. Matter of fact, the whole earth, you read the book of Revelation, they're at the great white throne judgment, they're going to run. The earth, everything, it fled. Everything was gone. There was everything that man believed in, that lived on and could see. It's not there anymore. It's totally gone. Listen, the foundation that you're on, that is the one that will never be destroyed, no matter what happens in this life and no matter what happens in this world. And that's where you need to be. That's where this church must be in 2024 and right now as well. We have the only true foundation. Let me give it to you. We just studied it in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:11-10, talking about for he, meaning Abraham. We're doing the same thing Abraham says. He looked for the city which has foundations. Why? Because this city doesn't have any foundations. This world doesn't have any foundations. He was looking for, why? Whose builder and maker is God. Not man, not angels, God. He says also, we studied last time, Hebrews 13:14, for here, Fort Worth, Texas, California, wherever it might be, earth, for here, we have no continuing city. It's not going to continue, loved one. It is not going to continue. We have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. See, this is not our home. We have absolutely nothing here. Everything we have is in heaven. Did you know that? And it's waiting on you. It is waiting on me. So you're building your life. You're building it right now. Jesus said this in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Master? And that's a word of intimacy, by the way. Why are you intimate with me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? But you don't do the things that I ask you to do. Jesus said, he goes on and he says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, in other words, puts them into practice. Remember, to hear God's word and not obey God's word means you're deceived. Amen? He says, and does them, listen to what he says. He says, I'll show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house, building a life, building a life. And here's what he did. Oh, he dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. Who is the rock? Jesus. And it says, oh, and when the flood arose, when the wars came, when the problems of life came, it says, whatever, and the stream beat vehemently against the house. Hey, could not shake it. Could not shake it. Could not shake it. Listen, we don't know. There could be a war tomorrow with us. Do you know that? We don't know, but we know who controls all things. Amen? Because we're on his foundation that will never crumble. And that's important. I'm not smart enough to know how to articulate it any other way. You have to be on it. Could not shake it. Why? For it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream, oh, it beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. We are on a foundation that can never fall apart. We're on a foundation that the words of God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you without support. I will never, no, never, no, never relax my hold upon you. No, never. So you can boldly and confidently say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Amen. Oh, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and if you are on any other foundation but Christ Jesus, you don't have a foundation. Why don't you get on it? If you don't know the Lord, you get on it right now. The safest, most secure foundation in the universe. You say, Bill, how do I do that? You have to come to Christ. You have to say you want him to be the Lord of your life. And you can do that right now. You don't have to get out of your chair. You just have to lift your hand and say, that's me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want him to save me. I want to be a Christian. Whatever. If that's you, lift it up high and put it right back down before I go to the Lord in prayer to celebrate communion. Anyone at all? Well, Father, I see no hands, and if there's someone on the line, if you just lifted it up or they're on the radio, man, ask Christ Jesus to be your Lord and do so right now, and he'll save you. Father, we thank you for putting us on the right foundation, the only foundation that'll never crumble. And Lord, right now we prepare our hearts to celebrate your table, and we sincerely welcome your presence. We ask it, we believe it in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. We need the ushers to come forth, please, and let's go ahead and please be passing out the bread. You know, the Bible teaches us, loved one, you know it, I know it, before we celebrate communion, it tells us that we need to look inside our hearts. It tells us that we need to look within and need to examine our own heart. And after you've examined it, if there be something there that shouldn't be there, you know, God knows as well. Then go to the throne of grace and get rid of it. Amen. And then after you have examined yourself, then let him eat of the bread and partake of the cup. Now, with all that being said, Jesus told us to do something. He told us to look back at what he did for us. Concerning the bread, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you," Paul is speaking, "that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he's betrayed, he took bread. And when Jesus had taken the bread, he broke it," or he had given thanks, okay? "And he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Listen, Jesus said, "I want you to remember what I did for you. I want you to remember that I took your place, that they broke me, but they so you would not be broken." Amen? Listen, if you're an Adam, we know what it's like to be an Adam. In Adam, everybody's broken. But man, when you come to Christ Jesus, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Amen? So the Lord, he's there for us. He's taking care of us. He said, "I want you to remember that with all of your heart. And keep that in your mind as you partake of that bread," and so forth. Jesus is so good. Isn't it sad in a way that the Lord, in every communion, he says, "I want you to remember what I did for you"? And you know why he does that? Because we're so easily, we forget what he has done for us. Come on. Jesus is the bread of life. Amen? He's the bread of life that came down from heaven. Boy, it says, "He who eats this bread," not speaking of his physical body, of course, "whoever eats this bread," he says, "liveth forever." Man, listen, we are the children of the Lord. Amen? So we're going to, let me grab, yes, I have it right here. So we're going to partake together, and then Jesse's going to play for a little bit, and we'll come back and take the cup. Father, we thank you as we're the family, your family. We are citizens of heaven. We're your children. Lord, I give praise in what we do right now as the family of God on this perfectly secure foundation. Praise God. We do all in remembrance of you. Let us partake together in Jesus' name.
Who knew no sin that we might become? His righteousness, he humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so
the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it." Doesn't tell us when, but as often, in every day if you like. As often as you drink, in remembrance of me. Well, thank God in Jesus' name that we are in and under a better covenant based on better promises with a better mediator, for Jesus is the surety or the guarantee of the new covenant in his blood. He died for you. He died for me. You know what it means. It means that he not only died for me, he died as me. He died for you and as you on the cross. Amen? He took your sin. It no longer belongs to you. Your past, your present, your future. Your sin, he bore all of it. All of it. And now it says that our sins are so far away from us. They're as far away as the east is from the west. And this is not any cup that we hold. This is the last cup. There are no more sacrifices. Amen? For sin. This is it. Jesus paid it all forever and ever and ever. And because of that, because we have been now redeemed or purchased, not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Loved one, listen. It means that we now have been eternally, eternally redeemed, eternally purchased. And no one can buy you. No one can take you. No one can take you out of the hands of Jesus Christ. Amen? He says, "My sheep, I know my sheep." He says, "I give them eternal life." And no one, not the devil, not anyone can ever snatch you out of his hand. He's the one that keeps you. You do not keep yourself. Jesus said, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus the Lord." Man, listen, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Because the power of God, the power of the gospel, boy, it has changed our lives. It takes dead men, dead women, and makes them alive. Amen? The good news of Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to partake together. And then Jesse is going to close us out with song. I'm going to depart over to the main lobby. There'll be people here to pray for you after Jesse closes us out. And I just love you. Amen. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for this cup. For you told us as often as we eat this bread and as often as we drink this cup, Lord, we do something. We proclaim your death until you come back. And you could come back right now. Matter of fact, you might come back today. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, before the whole world, we just proclaim that you're coming back. Thank you for dying for us, for me. Thank you for saving us. Thank you. All that we do now, we do in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, let us partake together.